This is the workshop on traveling with Sea Hau. And in honoring the Tradition 6, a Sea Hau group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the Sea Hau name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest Prambas Amani property and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. We state that none of the products or hotels mentioned in this display or in the talk are being promoted by the group. None of us have any conflict of interest with any of these products or hotels. They are simply examples of the types of things that have worked for us. Some of us have found that reading the food letter on pages 10 to 12 in the Forever Abstinent book, and I bought one just to hold up, and I don't have it with me, but they call it the food letter, with our sponsor has been helpful. I have paid close attention to the two following quotes on page 12. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God who grants us the spirit of abstinence. We are each responsible for our own abstinence and for our own recovery. And this is written, it's about the fourth page in your handout. Our abstinence is between us, our sponsor, Forever Abstinence, and the maintenance plan based on Forever Abstinence, and our higher power. Our recovery is a mutual gift between us and our higher power. So with that in mind, the goal of this talk, it's an important thing to have a goal. Fear is a large part of a reason many people don't travel. They're afraid they'll lose their abstinence. They give themselves permission, like, well, I'm going on a trip. I hope I can be abstinent. Well, you can't, in one of the talks I heard earlier, you can't prevent the fire, but you can prepare for it. And so to prepare for, yes, I can stay abstinent, and I will prepare to stay abstinent. So the goal is to ease people's fears and concerns about travel. So we have a program to live life, and traveling is part of life. And if your higher power has an intention to remove those defects that get in the way of you being of the most use to you, to him and your fellow man, and being of most use may be having you in Africa or Zimbabwe, you know, particular other places, Australia, somewhere that he wants to send you, but you're not willing to go because you're afraid you'll lose your abstinence, then there's something going on that we hope in this talk will be able to help you out. Or if you're changing occupations and you're going to be in business and you're going to be facing taking clients out, but you think, no, I can't do that. So there's going to be a section that's going to help you with those sorts of fears as well. So the way we're going to set this up is Roberta and Sarah are going to be talking about business. And there's so much about that I had no idea. I've learned gobs just in getting this all planned up. And each of us will have about a 10-minute sort of time frame, and we'll keep a time. And well, but they'll have two 10-minute time frames because there's two of them. And then traveling, vacations, camping, special events, reunions, birthday parties, weddings, hotels, family gatherings. So David's going to cover that area. And then Lorraine will talk about TSA. She's from Colorado, where TSA is, Denver in particular, is a real issue. And then foreign and overseas and third world travel, I'll do some covering of that. And I happen to be vegan, so I will do a little bit of stressing vegan options, because it's a tricky business traveling if you're vegan, anyway, it just is. So so now Roberta and Sarah will take over and talk about the business travel.
Thank you so much. Do we have handouts to give them?
Yes, they're in the back.
There are handouts in the back if you would like any.
Yes. Except there are no more of the car travel list. None of those.
There's no more of the car travel list. I'm sorry.
But they can take a photo.
They can take a photo.
There is a solution.
And with that, I'll start. Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta, compulsive eater from Orange County, California. Very glad to be here. What I do in the outside world is I am in sales for a living. I work at a company. I've been there 33 years, been in sales for 20. And on occasion, this is a Fortune, large company. I call on the major lenders of the U.S. And because I'm in sales, I need them to like me. I was in sales prior to going into CHOW, but when I first went into CHOW, I found out that I need to weigh and measure all of my meals. And the very next day, I had a client meeting, and I didn't know any better. And so I just went to, I brought my scale, I went to the client meeting, said hi to the client, we sat down to eat. Nobody paid attention to me in the slightest. Nobody said anything. I think that was the only time in a business meeting no one's ever said, they didn't even notice me. And I'm like, I can do this. So I started weighing and measuring even in front of clients. Now, I have to say, my experience has not been since then that people don't make comments. People make comments all the time. So early in my recovery, I would bring out my scale, and I would say, what people would say, what is that? That's my scale. What do you need a scale for? To manage my weight. Well, why? You look fine. Although initially I was still losing weight, but I got to a point where people said, why are you doing that? You look fine. You take care of the little scale. The big scale will take care of itself. Generally, it was fine. I had a waiter once say, boy, you're really watching your weight, aren't you? And I said, yes, and apparently you're watching me as well. I didn't ever have any problems with clients who watched me weigh and measure. They were like, man, you are really self-controlled. You have a lot of discipline. So if anything, my street cred went up high because they're like, well, you are really good. And then for every year since I've been in CHOW, 12 years, they would see me, hey, you look fine. You're the most disciplined person I've ever met with my food. So clients have never been the issue. It's my coworkers that was the issue. Because they would be like, what are you doing? Stop that. One time we were preparing, me and a colleague, not a particularly close colleague. We were calling on a very large lender. We had a lunch meeting. I'd eaten my lunch ahead of time, so I was just going to have tea. And when we sat down, me and my coworker, prior to the client meeting, she said, she ordered. And I said, just tea, please. And she said, you're not going to eat anything? I said, no. She's like, you're not going to eat anything? I said, no. She's like, come on, you have to eat something. So I said, certainly. I would like a XYZ, please. And I ordered it, and it came, and it sat there, and it sat there. And I didn't touch it. And she goes, you're not going to touch that thing, are you? I said, nope. Because I'm like, if you're going to push me that hard, I'm going to go the opposite direction. So I, early on in my abstinence, weighing and measuring in front of clients, for business reasons, again, my salary is based on them liking me, the clients, and buying from me. That's my livelihood. But what was a key differentiator for me was I recognized this isn't about the food, as you may have heard once or twice today. It's not about the food. My reputation is in God's hands. My financial strength and stability is not in my hands. It's in God's hands. If God wants to let my client have favor upon me and think that I'm really disciplined and a good person and therefore buy from me, I'm going to let it happen. If my coworker thinks I'm a freak and doesn't want to work with me, I'm going to let it happen because I'm going to put my hope, I'm going to put all my food elements in my higher powers basket because typically I have found, 100% of the time, my life is better in his hands than it is in mine. So with that understanding, when I travel for business, and I have to say this is a journey, and I have to say the most profound thing I'm going to say today is actually something that Susie said to us in prepping for this. She said, what I want people to know is I want them to feel safe in being able to follow our CHOW program even when we travel. That's the whole goal, that you can feel safe. In my experience, I have gone through phases of my program. Early on, for the first few years, I was, what is the word, rigorous, relentless, militant about weighing and measuring every single thing. And there are pros and cons to that. Now, the opposite approach, which is what I tend to fall more into now, we do have the freedom. There is the food letter that Susie mentioned, where we don't have to weigh and measure. We can, so long as we've talked with our sponsor and our higher power, we can estimate. There are pros and cons to that. I tend to fall more in the latter. The pro about going and weighing and measure everything is everything's weighed and measured, and there is no There is no, did I do the right thing? That scale says 4.0 or it does not. The downside is you get lots of comments all the time. Now, those are livable. There was a time I was at a wedding, and it was a wedding where you sit at a table and then you're called forward to go to the buffet. And I had brought my own food because I've done that on occasion. I bring my own food. But when everyone else went to the table, I brought out my prepared food. And some woman two tables away said, "Look at that woman. She brought her own food." And everybody went, yeah. And it was, I said, yeah, I do. And I ate. I don't know who those people are. They don't know who I am. Years have gone by. They have not thought of it since then. I ate my weight in measured food. So I have learned to withstand the comments. On the other hand, you have to prepare yourself for that. There was a workshop earlier this morning called about slogans. And, you know, slogans, one day at a time, easy does it. One of the slogans I'd never heard before was, cover your buttons. I'm like, what does that mean, cover your buttons? And one example is when you go into your family situation and you have people who know you who can push your buttons, you need to cover your buttons. So in the same way, when I go into a work situation, if I'm going to weigh and measure, I have to be prepared for the comments and the reaction and the processing that I have to go, it's God who manages my reputation. It is God. They're going to like me or they're not going to like me. It's in God's hands. So all of it is about recovery. Now, conversely, when I estimate, my estimator is not great, and my weight might be higher. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. But the bottom line of all that is to say, back to what Susie's point was, how do you feel safe being able to travel and see how? How can you do that? And the answer is both work. They both work. 1 minute. So when I travel, one of the things I do, when I book a hotel, I book a hotel with a kitchen, and I go to the grocery store when I arrive, and I cook my food, and I bring it with me, because I can't assume when I go to a business lunch that they're going to have more than just XYZ. So I make sure I bring the right food. I prepare. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's right. Let me think. Other key points. Let me just read the last paragraph. And this is in the handout. My last paragraph is, the biggest issue is of all is how do I deal with others' people's reactions to how I handle my meals? I believe that my higher power ultimately controls whether I'm accepted or not, and I'm 100% confident. And I left my name and number here. I do travel a lot for business. Happy to share war stories or ideas about how you can make it better. It was a privilege to share with you. And now I'd like to turn over another business traveler, Sarah.
Hi. So thanks, Roberta. We prepped before this, and we have very similar stories, so we are sharing the time, so I'll continue. My story is that I started an assistive program at the time I was traveling all the time for work, and I was able to release 150 pounds doing that. So I just want to give you the confidence that you can be traveling, and you can stay abstinent, and you can have tremendous physical recovery. So 15 years ago, I was doing a lot of large client events. I'm also in sales and in big, big hotels. So it was easy because I would call the meeting planner, and you know how on surveys they ask, do you have any dietary requirements? And I would give them the Sihao food plan or the sister program food plan. So it was really easy. They would bring out beautifully plated meals that were weighed and measured and prepped. And everyone at my table would say, hers looks so much better. You know, all those fresh steamed vegetables and blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of easy. And I got really, really spoiled because we were... when you travel, you usually get breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so I didn't have to bring anything. Well, fast forward, and my job changed, and then I was doing direct client meetings the way Susie was. Only by then, I'd been in program maybe 10 years, and I was much more uncomfortable, and I love hearing Susie's story because maybe I'll get a little bit less fearful about bringing my scale. I never once ever have brought a scale to a restaurant, either personally or traveling or anything. It's always been that little fear of mine. So I've been doing the estimating thing. And again, lost, recommitted 14 months ago, lost everything, and have kept it off for a while. And it's being honest. It's asking my higher power for help before I go into every meal. It's talking to my sponsor about what we're doing. And it's planning ahead. Just like Susie goes to the store, I only do 1 or 2 day trips at a time. I was just in Las Vegas for lunch Thursday, Los Angeles for dinner, and Orange County for breakfast. I don't always know where clients are going to take us if they're in charge, but if we are making the reservations, I always look at the menu, and I always know what I'm going to order, and I never look at the menu. Yeah. That is something that one of you shared with me 15 years ago. Do not open the menu. You can ask, do you have fresh protein or fresh vegan options, and what vegetables can the chef steam, what vegetables can the chef roast, and you leave it at that. That is the biggest advice that's worked for me for so well. And then I will pack my breakfast every day if I'm not taking a client out, because I need to know that everything is weighed and measured. And if I'm only going for a day or two, the protein doesn't have to be in the fridge, and it all works out. And then if I am planes, and people are going to talk later, are impossible, right? So I always pack my meal on the plane because we get so much food. I want to make sure I get my food. And sometimes if I'm in, like, a city and I'm going home, that means either planning ahead and seeing what restaurants are available at the airport, or it means telling the Uber to please stop at Trader Joe's, or it means planning. It means taking action. And isn't that what this program is all about? Taking action, doing the footwork so that we can be successful. And, of course, asking our higher power or my higher power for the willingness to do so every single time. And it's a blessing, and it's a non-event. And almost every single time clients say to me, yours looks better, what are you doing? And clients, I have the same clients now for years. They say, I want what she's ordering, whatever it is. I just want whatever she's getting because it's fresh and it's clean and it's delicious. And now they're even like ordering first and ordering it. So it's like really fun. The hardest thing is obviously when they order what comes after a meal, right? And one of you also taught me, always order something hot to drink, a hot tea or a whatever, coffee, even if you don't really want it, to hold, to have something to do with your hands. Because invariably, they don't understand what we're doing. And they're going to say to you, comments, just have a bite. Just here's a fork. Please try it. And like Roberta, my economic security depends on their liking me. And I've had my little disease saying to me, well, you have to, you know, because if you don't, they're not going to like you. They could care less. They actually don't want to share it. So if I'm holding on, I mean, think about it. A lot of them are us, right? A lot of them, that's why they ordered it, right? I'm buying them something they would never buy for themselves because I'm paying for this fancy lunch. So they overeat, overdrink usually because we're paying, but they don't care. They really, really don't care. And as long as I have the confidence to have that. So I think that the takeaways for me is plan ahead the most that you can. But like we all know, life throws you curveballs. A client decided to go out for sushi. I hate raw sashimi. This was a dive in downtown LA. There was not a vegetable to be seen. I'm like, oh my God. I can't break my abstinence. I'm talking today. I have to figure something out. So I got up and I went to the sushi chef and I said, do you have any lettuce? I mean, you put garnish on. So he made me a huge plate of lettuce, and then he took some sashimi and held his nose and seared it as much as he could. It still was way too undercooked for me. But it was a beautiful plate then, right? Because he's an artist and he made it beautiful. So I got the food I needed. I didn't break my abstinence. I was in a restaurant I never would have picked in 100 years. Changed the fact pattern. A kitchen always has what we need. Is it on the menu? Not always. Is it a pain in the neck for them to do? Always. But they want to have you come back, right? So don't be afraid to ask what for you need. Have the confidence that your higher power wants you to do that. And just have fun. I mean, traveling is eye-opening, and it's growth-inducing. And you meet new friends, and you meet new people, and you have cocktail party experiences and adventures in airports. So enjoy. And with this, I'm going to turn it over to David.
I'm David. I'm a compulsive eater. Thanks for asking me to come and share. And I'm talking about vacation for fun and also traveling to see family and friends. So I just, at the beginning of the month, celebrated 13 years of continuous abstinence. Thank you. And I've traveled overseas, but for fun, straight up fun. I've gone with the attitude of I'm going to stay abstinent no matter what. I've talked to a few people, especially in preparation for this, and sometimes after I share and I say how much I love to travel, and how wonderfully spiritually enriching it is for me, and they'll come and talk to me afterwards, and it's like, oh, travel is so scary and it's so hard for me, and it's like, well, where do you travel? I say, oh, back home to see my family. It's like, well, don't blame travel. I mean, it can be the family sometimes. So I am fortunate that I have a regular gig for Thanksgiving where I travel. That's not me. I have a job. I have a job when I go there. I carve the birds. So, you know, that's my job. So when people are noshing on all the stuff that happens beforehand, it's like, oh, that's great, but I have my job, you know, and I pack my vegetables and the grain that I take, and I'm making sure everybody else gets theirs. And in the kitchen, sometimes I bring my scale and sometimes I don't. Obviously, my vegetables and my starch were weighed from home, and the protein, when I eyeball, I usually eyeball under. I mean, when I come to these events, I'm usually involved and talking to people, and that fills me up, and I usually shortchange myself on the food, but it's fine. It's fine. That's not me before recovery. That's not the guy who came to see you for the very first time. But that's who was here. I had an extraordinary experience of traveling and staying with my cousin, and I told her about my food plan, and she said, great, I'll go to the store and I'll buy you stuff. And then she called me back and said, oh my God, she didn't quite get the subtlety of the rule of five on the sugar, but she said, I was looking at labels trying to buy you something, and I couldn't find anything that had sugar in it. So the first thing we're going to do when I pick you up from the airport is we're going to go to the grocery store. Yeah. This is the perfect answer. You know, because then I got to pick exactly what I needed. I didn't have to worry about a car in, like, suburbia trying to figure out how am I going to get to a grocery store and not offend people. So it's all possible by being honest, by saying what you need. I've traveled with friends. I traveled with a friend in India that I sponsored, and he had connections. So if you're going someplace like that, you want to have connections. So you get a good guide, and so you tell them. And we were both the same way. We were both on maintenance, and you know, we told our guide what we needed, when we needed. He got it for us. My most recent trip to Ireland, where I got my little cap. We stayed in an apartment with two bedrooms and a kitchen, and we went shopping. We ate out once a day at most, and the rest of the time, it's like, would you like me to cook you something for breakfast? I'm cooking anyway. It's like, sure, you know. So it's very doable. My first couple of trips were to far places, and I wouldn't, you know, the first trip I went to was in, I had 6 months of abstinence, and the first stop was Easter Island, you know. I have a little souvenir from there, and I remember people commenting. There was this English guy who said, "Oh, you're very abstemious," you know. When I, like, that's what the English call us. you don't try anything. It's like, nope, and it was fine, and it was easy because I didn't know these guys from Adam. And I didn't care, and I went with the spirit of abstinence. I believe I emailed my sponsor, because in 2006 in the South Pacific, I don't think I could text from there. But that was my arranged agreement. If you're on a tour, tell them, you know, no alcohol, no sugar, no flour, 3 meals a day. That's when I went to Italy. I said, well, there's going to be a pasta course. What do you want? Cooked vegetables. If you go to Italy, if you ask for a salad before dinner, they'll look at you funny. If you ask for cooked vegetables, they'll say, perfect. No problem. A little research beforehand goes a long way. My second trip was to Middle Europe, to Vienna. And as a kid, I used to recreate some of the grand things that are made there. And one of the things I told myself, and I shared at meetings, is like, the architecture is beautiful too. I'm not going to start chewing on that. It's just, that's not food for me anymore. I remember tramping around Vienna, looking at the sights, and then everyone was exhausted, and I would tell the tour guide, I'm going to die if I don't get a coffee. So we would get a coffee for me, and everybody else would load up on the stuff that they do the best there. And I had translators, you know, I had German, Hungarian, and Czech translators who would say, you know, what's in that, what's in that, I need this. That's fine, and then that's fine. And people want to be helpful. If you ask for things, they want to be helpful. So I learned early on, if the way I expressed my needs about what someone was trying to share with me, if I expressed them with the attitude, what you're trying to feed me is going to kill me. Don't do it. You know, if I come across that way, then people get defensive back and they say, you don't love me anymore. You know, if you said, oh, that looks beautiful, but no, thank you. And I too have had, you know, I've been at a birthday celebration where a big slice of the festive treat sat in front of me the whole time until it was taken away and no one commented. That was that one time. Most of the time I try to be helpful. You know, I try to stand and be helpful and just be of service. You know, if you're nervous traveling, just like anywhere, you know, like Ray used to say, how can I help you today? And that'll serve you everywhere. Thanks. And now it's Lorraine's turn.
Hello, I'm Lorraine, compulsive eater. Susie made the comment about me coming out of Denver and how TSA can be a little bit tricky. The reason she said that is, as most people know, Colorado is now a marijuana state, and TSA has gotten pretty heavy-handed with, you know, good reason. and there's a lot of edibles, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when I travel, I try to make my plane reservations in between meals. I'm a compulsive eater, you know. And I took a meal one time, and it was, can I say abstinent food? Okay. I had pumpkin, bran, and raisins mixed up together, and I think I had yogurt in there because I had my protein. Anyway, I thought I'd have one big meal, and that was going to be my absent meal, you know, and I talked about it with my sponsor. And I don't know what was in that particular thing, but there was something in it that's very close to the stuff that's in the pot. And so it took them 30 minutes to decide it was okay for me to have. Oh my God. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm at the before the security line in the airport, and I've got all those places where I can go get my salads if I need it, you know. Two things that I have to make sure I plan about as far as international travel goes is when I'm on the plane, the time of the day that I'm on the plane, and how I get the food that I need legally, okay? Oh, boy, that sounded funny after my pot introduction here. I try to fly as late in the afternoon or evening as I can if I do an international flight. You don't eat when you sleep, folks, you know. And so I try to fly after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and most of the international flights out of Denver happen to be, you know, 7 and 8 at night anyway, so I'm good. And I don't eat because I've already had my 3 meals that day. Between the flight time and getting there, I've been going to Europe. So most of the time when I get there, it's like anywhere from 7 to 11 in the morning. So I get onto my 3-meal-a-day schedule without any problem at all, okay? When I leave like at noontime, what I try to do there is I make sure that I've got a dinner for the plane, and then I don't worry about it until I get to where I'm going because it's going to be breakfast time again. We have 3 meals a day. We have to have, what, something like between 4 and 5 hours between our meals. You know, you can figure it out if you plan. There's a lot of prepackaged foods that are allowed to go through carry-ons. You know, you can get your weighed vegetables as long as they are in their packets and they're sealed and you're not opening them up. Cheese sticks travel for weeks without refrigeration, okay? The other thing that you can think of is when you're in your hotel, if there, you know, very few European hotels have refrigerators. You go to the ice machine, you throw ice in the bathroom sink, and you put your stuff in there overnight, and it works great. You know, you just have to pre-plan. The fun thing that I had that I do want to share is one of my first international trips. We were in Ireland, my first one, and we went to the castle, and you had this castle meal. Well, of course, it was not something I could eat. And I had made the comment, and the tour guide, you know, he apologized. He misunderstood what he thought I was asking for, and so what they had, you know, didn't work. So I spoke to the chef, and he says, "Tell me what you need." So I wrote the things down, and within 20 minutes, he brought me exactly what I needed, and he was an artist. The presentation on the plate was unbelievable. I'm looking at this, and I almost didn't want to eat it because it was so beautiful. Not. But it was a beautiful presentation. If you let the chefs know what you need, a lot of times they will take it as almost a challenge. And the few times that I've had to do it one-on-one like that, they have brought me some really beautiful food. You know, and so I was able to taste the local food my abstinent way. And if it turned out to not be their local food or something like that, I got the local atmosphere. I got the local people, and I enjoyed my trip because I was able to keep my abstinence going. You know, the first time I ever went over to England, I could not find vegetables to save my life. You go into the restaurants, it's better now, but you'd go into restaurants and you couldn't get a salad. There was nothing on there, on the plates for salads. And I really struggled, and then I finally remembered the old tomato juice trick, you know. And so I asked for some tomato juice, and the waiter said, "I don't know if I can do that." I said, "Oh, really?" And I thought, oh, Bloody Mary without the alcohol. I got my tomato juice, you know. So remember that trip. I mean, if you can't get what you need. And then one time this last year we were in Greece, and I had a really hard time finding any kind of the liquid vegetable, the vegetable juice and things like that. And I kind of needed it for something. I can't remember why, because Greece is an easy place to keep your abstinence. They have fresh seafoods. They have, the only thing you have to do is when you get your vegetables from them, you have to really tell them, I need it just grilled, please, because they do love their olive oil. And so you have to make sure that they know you can't have that, you know. But Greece is really easy to stay abstinent. They're beautiful, and they eat plain food. You can doctor it up the way we can, abstinently. But they're very healthy eaters over there, extraordinarily healthy eaters. And so that was one of my easier trips. But I remember one of the first trips, as soon as we landed and got to where we were going to be our base, the first thing I did was look for the food. You know, I looked for the grocery stores. I looked for whatever I needed so that I could have access to it. And it took the whole day the first time because I was new to it. It's the first time I'd ever done that. And my daughter said, Mom, do you realize you've spent this whole day looking for food and you're not even going to eat it? And I said, no, but I know. I need to know where it is. And I'm much better now, and Europe is much better now, especially England. The last time I went down to England, or up to England, wherever. Anyway, even their 7-Eleven type stores have fresh fruits and vegetables there for you. And in Europe, they also still have the farmer market type things all the time. It's not just like on Wednesdays and Saturdays, you know. And so you have the opportunity to buy exactly what you need. And sometimes what I have done is more often, instead of weighing and measuring my vegetables and things, I have done the cups because it's a little easier. And my sponsor and I have talked about it, and I'm allowed to do either one as long as that's what I commit, you know. And so I have found that my 3 cups of dinner vegetables isn't going to kill me if I don't get my 24 ounces, you know. And I have learned that I can go for 7 or 8 hours between my meals if it's what I need and if it's what I can do. And I have learned in flying, if you pre-order things, it really isn't a good idea. Truly. 1 minute. Okay. You know, I've said I'm vegetarian. I've said I've been pre-diabetic. I've said I have food allergies. And they do try. But you know what? They still give you the stuff that we can't have. And as long as they allow you to take your packaged food, you can have at least 1 meal on the plane. I've only had to throw away food a little bit because, you know, once it's opened up, you cannot take it off of the plane. But you can eat it on their plane, you know. And again, if you don't have enough vegetables or anything like that, you just ask for the tomato juice. They always have the booze on board. So you can have the tomato juice without the goodies in it, you know. But I'm very happy to talk to anybody and give you some other clues on things. I have often also taken prepackaged baby food. Baby food has, you know, they've got the new squeezables. Okay, 4 ounces of applesauce, no sugar. Okay, 4 ounces of spinach or something like that. And they pack without any weight, which is wonderful. And so if you're going for a long period of time, that is something that is a good idea to do. But read the labels, because now they're starting to add all kinds of stuff so that we can get our babies addicted now, too. So thank you.
Well, I'm Susie, and I'm going to do the section on third world travel, isolated location, sort of mission trips, places that don't have, sometimes they don't have refrigeration. So just to kind of get started, I've been on plane trips that have been 10 to 16 hours, and so it requires more than one meal. But so long-term planning, I check my spirit. That's the thing. I'm going, as it says before, our recovery is a mutual gift between us and our higher power, and God gives us the spirit of abstinence. And so I check my spirit, the spirit of abstinence, and I am confident in God and know that He is going to do for me what I have not been able to do for myself, and I will maintain my abstinence through my entire journey. So I just get my mindset in the first place. So a couple of months before, I begin talking to my sponsor about my travel to make sure that we've got this all taken care of. And I've gone into rather detail about what you do. If you both have iPhones, you can call each other if you both have Wi-Fi. If you're not going to have Wi-Fi, you're on a cruise and you don't have Wi-Fi, but you can call land on landline when you get on land. Then you can contact your carrier and you can get a travel package. So for $10 a day, it's unlimited talk and unlimited text. That way you can attend meetings, you know, an hour meeting, and you won't have a problem. That way you can also be sure you can maintain contact with other people that are on the mainland. If you can call anybody that has, if you've got an iPhone, they've got an iPhone, you can do that, or you can get on WhatsApp, but you still need Wi-Fi with that, but the travel package, you don't. So that's a way to work your tools. I have had to get a temporary sponsor because when I went to India, I mean, that's 13 hours, and my sponsor didn't have a time when I could call her reasonably, so I got a temporary sponsor that was in South Africa, and I gave my food to somebody that was in South Africa, and I gave my writing to somebody who stayed up really late in the United States. So you just kind of have to work around it. And I only have learned a lot of this in retrospect, so it was like along the way. I call ahead to the travel agent. If we're going on a mission trip, I talk to the mission coordinator and make sure that they understand and know that I'm vegan. I don't eat any animal products at all. I eat simple prepared foods as close to the way they were grown as possible. So I'm not particularly wild about processed food, but when you travel, sometimes that's all you've got is processed food, and I'll show you some of the things that are lightweight that you can take when you're traveling. So to travel from to and from destination, what I plan the number of meals, and there's a rather extensive chart here that I took the time to plan out, thank my daughter for getting it into a format. So I plan the number of meals, the type of food that I'm going to need. That way I know what to shop for, and I have some idea of how to pack. So I put down, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I know that it takes me 5 hours to get to the airport from where we live. And so I often, if I'm taking an evening flight, I leave in the morning from where we are, and I haven't eaten my breakfast, so I take it in the car. My husband drives. I eat it along the way. So I've got that I have to plan for. And then lunch on the plane and dinner in the airport, maybe I've got a stopover, but I can't rely on the airport to still have the same restaurant that it did last time I was there. So I always take my food. And then on the plane, I'll have to have my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then when I land, for instance, in Africa, if we're going on a mission trip, there's a bus that I have to take, a six-hour bus ride to get to a boat that takes us to the bush lodge. So there's the day. I'm 2 days, 3 days. And I've discovered, thanks to somebody in Seahaw, I was talking about traveling, this has been months ago, and she said, oh, yes, I can take my food on the airplane. I take it in a little cooler. And I thought, cooler? What do you mean cooler? She said, oh, yes, I take those packs. Unfortunately, these have thawed out since I left the house this morning. But if they're hard, if they are frozen, the airplane, they will clear TSA. If they're not frozen, they will take them away from you. And the way these are, I've gotten these little coolers, if you will, and they've got a space here. You slide these ice packs in. There's one in the top and a space in the bottom, and you slide them in there, and then you put your food, and this is how I pack that. These are expendable.